If you have your Bibles this morning, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. In case you didn't bring a Bible with you, there's probably one in a chair rack near you, and you can find John chapter 14 on page 901. The title of the message today is called The Helper. And I just want you to know a couple of things as we begin this message. In the start of this message, I want you to know that I feel inadequate about sharing about the topic of the Holy Spirit. Not that I don't think that I identify the Holy Spirit, but I think that the Holy Spirit is so much more than any of us can even capitulate and understand that I feel inadequate at sharing. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, the Spirit of God, which if you look into Acts chapter 2, which is not so far after John chapter 14 here, you'll see the unleashing of the Spirit at Pentecost. I truly believe that God's Spirit is present in our society, and I truly believe that God's Spirit is present here today. His ways are indescribable, but yet they're life-giving. And God's Spirit is shared throughout the Bible, and the Holy Spirit needs to be considered reverently and with great respect. His presence is needed every day. And I am thankful for God's Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, there are three parts to the triune God. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They work together. How that all works together, I've read books. I could probably have a theological discussion with you on all of it. And still, it's beyond me because God doesn't have to be centered into what we can grasp in our minds. God is beyond us, but yet he enables us to understand. That's why he's given us of his Son, and that's why he's given to us of his Holy Spirit. I believe that God's Spirit draws each of us. Whether you're an individual who is the furthest away from Christ, or you're an individual that you just drove in this morning and you're just like, if I can say this, you're high in the Spirit. Now, there are some questions of can you be drunk in the Spirit, and that's a whole nother topic, and we're not going to get into that at all. I just believe that God's Spirit can be ever so present in our lives, that there is just something that happens deep within our souls and in our minds, and it just capitulates and takes over our life. I hope for one of three things to happen in your life today. First of all, if you're one in the sanctuary today, and we also record this, and so maybe somebody's listening, if you don't know Jesus, I would ask that you would come to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord today, and that you would know that his Spirit can live within you, and his Spirit is good. His Spirit is better than any other thing in all of life that we can try to put within us. His Spirit is the best thing. Second, if you do know Jesus and you haven't realized God's Spirit the best that you possibly know how, and you weren't even aware that God's Spirit is around, I pray that today you would just say yes to God's Spirit and say, yeah, I want God's Spirit in my life. There are some theological discussions about, is there a second works of grace? Is there a sanctification? And maybe you know some of those words. I don't understand it all, but I believe this. I believe there's a time where we accept Jesus and we ask him to forgive us of our sins. And then there's a time we say, I want him to be Lord of my life. I think some would say there are kind of two different times. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I'm not sure. It happens in different ways. I believe, though, there becomes a time where we say, yes, I want God's Spirit to be dwelling and being Lord of my life all of the time. Or third, if you do know Jesus and you know his Spirit, I pray that this message would just encourage and bolster and push you even further. because I believe that even if you are a Christian and you've been a Christian for a long time, like you've been a Christian longer than I've been alive, and you, God's Spirit has been living within you, you would say, yes, I need God's Spirit even more. Because I believe that though the song says, running over, my cup is full and running over, I just think that the more we allow the Spirit in, the more that He can pour out of us. But we have to be willing. And so I pray for each of you that first, if you don't know Jesus, that you would know Him. Second, if you know Jesus, but you didn't realize you have God's Spirit, that it would just... And third, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have God's Spirit within you, that today you'd just be like, yes. The Holy Spirit is here today. And I ask that you would look into Christ's scriptures that He's given to us and examine your life and allow the Spirit to move, whatever that looks like for you today. If you join me in God's Word, I'm going to be sharing from John chapter 14. I'm going to read a couple of verses here, verses 15 to 17. Here's what Jesus says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now, if you happen to get a bulletin on your way in, you notice there's a place to fill out some notes. Sometimes it's not big enough for some of you. Some of you like to write a little more. Some of you, it's like, I don't even pay attention to that, so who cares? And so I've done a little differently today. Usually there's like blanks that I provide. But what I've done today is I've given you five questions, and we're going to answer those through the service. And so the first one is this. How do we love God? Here's the answer. It says it right here. Keeping His commandments. It's simple in my mind. We show that we love God by keeping His commandments. If we don't love God, then don't worry about His commandments whatsoever. If you know somebody that doesn't love God and like you're upset at them because they cheat you and they lie to you and they steal, why? You don't get upset at them. They don't love God. So why should they do that? I think there's something working with inside of them that they shouldn't do that. But if you love God, you're going to keep His commandments. If you don't love God, do whatever you want to. It really doesn't matter. However, I believe it does matter. Each person has a pull from our Creator to do what is right. Why is there destruction and terror and confusion and frustration in the world? I'll tell you why. People don't love God, and they don't keep His commandments. I believe this. If we keep God's commandments in our lives, we show that we love Him, and things just turn out good. Simple as that. I think it works. Our lives will show as well if we love God or not. If you keep His commandments, others will see that, and they'll say, you love God, don't you? Well, I do. How do you know? Because you keep His commandments. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. John tells us this in his 1 John book. It says this, by this we can be sure that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. I'm going to talk a little bit more about keeping His commandments next week, because as Jesus goes and we read in verses 18 to 24, He talks about it again. So I'm going to stop there and just give you an interesting note, and then we're going to keep moving on with the message. The interesting note is this. So far in the book of John, Jesus talks of His love for His disciples. He says, I love you. You're a very important part. But here He turns the corner. Here He turns it around. And for the first time, He speaks of their love for Him. if you love me. Before this, it's all about I love you. But now he turns us around and he says, if you love me, you will keep his commandments. So, do you love God? Keep his commands. Number two, who is the helper? The Holy Spirit. We have to be very careful here not to lower the viewpoint of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead, but he is not here to do whatever you wish. Please don't leave from the sanctuary this morning. Oh, Pastor Steve said that I have the Holy Spirit, and so now all I got to do is go get a little genie bottle and rub on it, and the Holy Spirit's going to do whatever I wish. Because if I look previously in verse 14, it says, if you ask me anything in my name, I'm going to do it. So, man, this is really good. He's the helper. He's going to do everything that I want him to do. We have to be cautious. But we also need to know that the Holy Spirit has come as the helper. He's also identified, maybe in a translation you have, as the counselor. Maybe you've also been, you've heard him referred to as the comforter. And you also see right here, he's identified as the Spirit of Truth. Jesus could not be everywhere. We talked about that last week. He was not able to be everywhere. And so you were able to do greater works. And maybe some of that might be telling us that we're having the witness of Christ everywhere. He couldn't be everywhere. Thus, the Spirit was sent so that every believer, everywhere, can have access to the Spirit of the living God. I want you to think about this for just a moment. What is the farthest out place that you have ever been? Like, you didn't have cell phone service. You didn't have any access to anything. You were out there somewhere. For me, as I thought about this, I thought about a time that I was in Costa Rica. Now, obviously, many of you know where Costa Rica is out or where it's at on the map. But when we went to Costa Rica, there was, I believe, six of us guys who went there on a missions trip to help build a church. It was one of those times that I got on a plane, and this wasn't a 242 plane. It was a plane where you could reach out and touch the pilot, you know. If you've ever been on one of those planes, it was one of those planes that as we flew over the runway, I almost felt that the pilot didn't do this, but I kind of felt like this. The pilot was going to be like, hey, get your cows off the runway because we want to land. I mean, seriously, it was out there. It was one of the 45 minutes up and down, and then here we are. If I would have died there, I don't know how I would have gotten back, because then coming home, we had to go on a 2-hour boat ride, like not a yacht, not a carrier, like a canoe ride, several of us, like 2 hours that we got to some place, and then I think it was like another 4-hour driving trip to get to the airport. I was out there, had a great time. Actually, there's another story. I can't share it this morning right now, but because it takes too long. But we went and found sand. If you ever want to hear my sand story in Costa Rica, that was a fun one. I was out there. I don't know where you've been. Maybe for you it was Alaska. Maybe for you it was a foxhole somewhere. Maybe for you at times you feel like you're all alone, even in your own house right here in Rapid City. Please know this. God's Spirit is there. The psalmist said it this way. Where shall I go from your presence? Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God's Spirit is everywhere. Not so with an idol. And God's Spirit is good and not evil. Number three, who can the world not receive? The Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture says here. Verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive. Some would say, well, this is kind of exclusive. I mean, how come the world can't receive the Holy Spirit? Here are the promises from God's word from this chapter alone. John chapter 14. If we believe in Jesus as the way, truth, and the life, verse 6, then he enables us to do greater works. And then when we ask in Jesus' name, we will know him more, which will enable us to be more, which enables us to do more because we believe in him. If we demonstrate that we believe this by keeping his commandments, saying that we love him, then he gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit then indwells with us and helps us in every need. The world, or sinners, people that don't want God, cannot have access to the Holy Spirit until that moment that they repent of their sins and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. They move towards God and they believe in him. God continues to draw all men, but until they receive him, they don't have the Holy Spirit. I contend that the Godhead gives us peace. Thus, many around us are not in peace because they don't have the Spirit living within them, but they can. You can. Just takes a simple, God, I need you. If you're here today and you haven't believed in God, I ask that you believe in God so that his Spirit may invade your life and provide you life to the full. One of the things Jesus says is this: the world cannot see him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. What does that mean exactly? They can if they repent, but as the commentator says this, we can only see what we are fitted to see. We can only see what we are fitted to see. Here's what 1 Corinthians 2:14 says. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Think of it this way. When I was in 8th grade, we were encouraged to memorize the constellations. Now, if you go out into the sky, I think many of us in this room would be able to find the Big Dipper, correct? You'd probably be able to find the Big Dipper. If not, talk to your neighbor. They'll help you find it sometime. But if you have no idea about the Big Dipper, you just see stars up there, don't you? It's just stars. Well, those are nice stars up there. The astronomer understands to a greater level what's happening outside in the stars. Some of you, I know Brent Burkhalter has a telescope, and I know sometimes he goes and he looks at things. I don't know, he's looking at stars or planets or something. I don't understand that. No, but if you were to go with Brent Burkhalter, he would say, right there. Yeah, there's Jupiter right there. Sure enough. I don't know how you see that. I mean, I see it, but I never knew that until I see it. See, what do you see? A botanist, as they come upon a hedgerow, they see more than just a hedgerow. You and I that are not botanists are like, yeah, that's a hedge. It's green. Sometimes it turns brown. But a botanist sees more. If you know music, if you ever take Pastor Bradley somewhere and things are just a little bit out of tune, he probably won't let you know about it, but he's going to hear it. Because what you see it differently. Some of you never turn on your TV on Sunday afternoon to watch football. Some of you love football. But some of you, when you're trying to watch football, you just see 22 men on the field and you have no idea what they're doing. I mean, there's a football there and they do something and you don't understand what's happening. But if you know football, you know what's taking place in the game. If you are one who is an artist, when you see a painting or you see something done, crafted, you're like, look at all the time. Those little doilies that you can buy places, just little doilies, they're not very big at all. For those of you who aren't crafty, you don't know the hours that it takes to do those things and the intricate parts that they are. But for you who know, you're like, whoa. The world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world cannot see him. What we see and experience depends on what we bring to that certain situation. Number four, who can dwell in us? Who can dwell in us? The Holy Spirit. There's a song that says, "Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way." What do I look like if I live this Spirit-filled life? Physically, not really different. You still have two arms, two legs. You don't have to lose a leg and give that to the Spirit. And you still have a mouth and eyes and ears. But our spiritual life should look very differently. My spirit should be in tune with His Spirit, and His Spirit should have full access to all of my life. My will, my action, my minds, my places I go. There should be a great longing for God. Is there a great longing in your heart for God and the Spirit within your life? Another way of knowing that the Spirit is working in your life is this. When the enemy causes all kinds of confusion for you. Now, it's more than just hitting every stoplight, okay? Now, sometimes that can be really frustrating. I hit almost every stoplight this morning on my way to church. That's okay. But it's more than that. It's when you're trying to seek God's word and you're on your knees in prayer, and when you are reading God's word that your mind is being distracted by all of this stuff. That's when you know the Spirit is living in your life, because the enemy wants to frustrate, derail, and cause strife in your life. But let me tell you this, the Spirit of God is more powerful, and we can beat back the enemy in any schemes because of the Holy Spirit and His presence. And hear me in this, the Holy Spirit is good. There are spirits, but there are some evil spirits, but not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is righteous and good and loving and not condemning, but very good to us. Number five, what does the Holy Spirit do in us? The Holy Spirit changes us, remakes us, convicts us, helps us, guides us, moves us, makes us more than we can be, provides peace, provides comfort, provides direction, provides help, and all of this just at the right time. The Greek word for spirit is paraclete. It can be translated as comforter, but it's probably best identified as the word helper. This word can also mean advising, exhorting, comforting, strengthening, interceding, encouraging. It really means this, someone who is called in. Let me explain here for just a couple of moments. The Greeks would have used this word in a variety of ways. So what would you be called in for? One might be called in to witness in a law court. Number two, he might be called in to plead the cause of someone under a charge which could be a serious penalty. Number three, an expert might be called in to give advice in a difficult situation. Someone might be called in to help raise the spirits of some, to put new courage into their minds, like a company of soldiers who are defeated and they say, let's call in somebody to encourage them back to get into the battle. It's always used to describe someone who was called in to help in the time of trouble or need. Comforter is a translation of one, and it used to perfectly be a great translation. Wycliffe actually was the first to use it, but it meant more then. Now, comforter almost solely means to comfort one when we are sad. And the Holy Spirit will do that. If we're sad, the Holy Spirit will comfort us. But it means more than that. It means to be brave. And the Holy Spirit is talked about with being one who's able to cope with things. That's correct. The Holy Spirit comes in and enables us to cope with life. He substitutes victorious living for defeated living. We're defeated and we have victory. The Spirit enables us to live, to love someone that's unlovable, to provide discernment, to give us the fruit of the Spirit, to lead us just like He led the Israelites through the desert. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in our life. In John chapter 14, verse 26, you will see this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. It's mentioned again in John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. It's also mentioned in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. This last summer, I was able to go to Mexico with some of you on a missions trip. And I just want to show you some pictures of our missions trip, and I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit can be our helper at just the right time. This is the beginning of our missions trip where we're going to build a house right there. You're going to see a house many slides later of the house. Go on there, Ethan. This is the foundation for this huge house that we built. It wasn't huge. But there is where we're going to pour the cement. Here are some individuals who are getting ready to build walls, cutting the wood so they can put the walls up. You can go to the next one now, Ethan. Here is the wonderful cement truck. If you haven't heard the story, the cement truck came and then it broke down for about 10 minutes. That was not a good moment. And God allowed for that cement to come out, and here we are pouring the cement for the foundation for the home. Here we have one of the first walls, if not the first wall, being put up. We have more than one wall. How many missions trip members does it take to hold the wall up? We got a lot. Is it going to stay up? I don't know. Which one would you trust to hold the wall? Anyway, okay. Then we put some walls up, the outside of the walls. And as you can see, the black, what'd you call that? What do we call that, Richard? The black stuff, sheeting, we'll call it black sheeting, up on the walls. Then we put a roof on, and it wasn't real high, as you could see. This is the roof, and put some sheeting on top of the roof. Inside, what needed to be put up? We need to put insulation in, as well as you can see some electrical work that was being put in. Then, after you get all the insulation and the electrical work, you put up some sheetrock. So here's some sheetrock being put up. And there's Bruce, and he's mixing some things. Go to the next one. He's mixing the stucco that's supposed to be on the outside. I've tried to find the best picture I could of you, Richard, and so that's why I found that one. You can talk to Richard about what he was doing after the sir. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway. And there's the completed home. You can just leave that up there for a little bit, Ethan. I want you to think about this, and I hope this illustration works well. I don't know. Maybe it won't. There were different parts of that building process. If somebody would have came to me on the first day of that house and said, here are some sheetrock screws, I would have said, what am I supposed to do with these? This isn't the time to have sheetrock screws. That's going to come a little bit later. If we were hanging sheetrock and somebody had brought some concrete to us, you'd be like, well, we don't need the concrete right now. We needed that at the beginning of the process. If somebody would have come at the end of this and said, oh, I have some wood so you can build, here's some 2x4s to build the studs of the house for the walls, somebody would be like, we're already done building the walls of the house. If someone the first day would have brought over the metal sheeting for the roof and said, here you go, put this on the ground, we'd be like, no, that's going to go on top. That's not going to allow the rain to get in when it's raining, and it's going to keep the sun out. Here's my point in all this. The Holy Spirit is identified as a helper. And the Holy Spirit as your helper helps you exactly where you need Him to help you even today. And you may say, well, I don't need sheetrock screws. And so the Holy Spirit, again, He's not going to give you sheetrock screws. But there's going to be times when God the Holy Spirit comes and gives you exactly what you need. At times you're going to wonder, what do I really need? And that's when you say, Holy Spirit, I'm not sure what I need, but would you enable me to have exactly what I need right now? Sometimes you know exactly what you need. And so you cry out to God, and hear me in this, He is the helper and He provides that help. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, here's what it says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. You have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and those around you that don't know Christ, they don't understand. Why? Because they do not see Him or they do not know Him. Don't think that you're something special and you just have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available for all, and He helps us at our exact time of need. Who is this helper? If you see it in the scripture, the helper is the Spirit of truth. There are not different Holy Spirits. Don't think that. There is one. However, the Holy Spirit ministers to each of us, each of you, myself included, exactly how the Holy Spirit needs to minister and help you at your time of need. What other religion promises the gift of the Holy Spirit? None. Oh, some other religions promise spirits, but not the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the helper, who is the Spirit of truth. And other religions believe in a stone idol. There's no life-giving form in that, and that idol is just in a certain place. But God's Spirit is everywhere. Do you love God? If you do, keep His commands. The Holy Spirit has come as the helper, and the world is not tuned in to see Him. But if you are a believer, you can, and He can dwell in you. And when He does, new life is found. Do you have God's Spirit living within you? If not, why not invite Him in today as your helper? If you do, may you allow the Spirit to move in your life. All the places, every place of your mind. And may you understand Him as a helper in your life today. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for each and every one of you today. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? Before I pray, please just hear these words. I believe that the enemy wants to distract and destroy each of us. But if you have Jesus and His Holy Spirit living within you, He cannot do that. God's Spirit is more powerful. So even as you leave from this place on this day, don't be distracted, because God wants to speak in and through you. Lord Jesus, I pray for each person that's in this room today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your helper that you provide in our time of need. I believe there's probably been some people here today that this last week, they're like, I don't know what to do. And they've called on your Spirit this week, and your Spirit has ministered to them and helped them just in their time of need. Thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you for the way that your Spirit works. Sometimes we like to put our box around how you work as your Spirit, and you like to work outside of that at times. Thank you, God, that you have given to us of your Spirit. I pray for somebody here today that hasn't received your Spirit yet. They haven't received you into their life. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that even right now in the quietness of this moment, they would say yes to you. And the enemy who wants to destroy can't have any part of that. You are more powerful. This is your place, and your Spirit can go with them from this place. And so, God, would you provide that for someone here today? God, there's somebody here who loves you, who's aimed to serve you, but they didn't know that your spirit was right there. And so I pray that you would give them a fresh, invigorating, pulsating moving of your spirit in their lives. And I pray that your spirit would just move right now deep within their soul, within their spirit, and they'd say yes to you. Lord Jesus, there are some godly saints that are in this room, and they depend upon your spirit every day. And I pray that even this week, that as they go from this place, there would just be an outpouring of your spirit and that you would help them. May they not be afraid. May they be bold. May there be something that is great and deep within them today as well as myself. And may it go throughout this week that your spirit would work ever so deeply within each of us. May the world see and may they follow after you because of what your spirit is and does. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your spirit. And as we go from this place on this day, may your spirit reign supreme in each of our lives, and may others glorify your name and praise you who are in heaven. Thank you for being our helper. We pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.